Hey everybody, Mark Ashton coming to you on May 15th with the Accelerator about the glory of Solomon. It's coming out of 1 Kings chapter 4, 7, 10, a little 2 Chronicles, and Psalm 72, all mixed together in this. And the main point of what we're talking about today is the extent of Solomon's glory. I mean, Solomon just rocked. This was the absolute peak of Israel's glory. And I think the reason why the authors are so clear about what happens in Solomon's life at this time is because this is the peak of the glory of Israel, not just the glory of Solomon. It's when Israel was at its richest. It's when Israel had its largest borders. It's when Israel had its most influence and most respect in its history. So they go through this painful set of details about just how rich Solomon is, and it defines the glory days of Israel. So you begin with a plan about Solomon's house. Where does Solomon live? Well, it says he lives in a palace in the forests of Lebanon, but it's not really a palace in the forests of Lebanon. The reference of the palace of the forest of Lebanon is because the wood that made it was the most valuable wood in the day, which came from Lebanon. Now, the palace that he lived in, if you mark out all of the dimensions of it, would have been 23,000 square feet. I mean, that's a big house. That's like six times the size of a really big house in our culture. And you think he probably needed that because he had 1,000 wives and concubines. He needed plenty of space for all of them. Actually, I'm sure that all of his wives and concubines did not live under the same roof. But he had enough of them there, and parties, and wealth, and armies, that he needed a big place to live. So we know he lived in a place that was not too shabby. Solomon carried on extensive building projects that are outlined in today's text. That was the reason for the levy, the taxes that King Solomon raised. He built the temple, his own house, he built a bunch of fortress cities, and he built a navy. Now, interestingly, he perched his navy at a place called Ezion Geber, which is right here at the tip of the Red Sea. So if you're looking at the map, the Phoenicians ran all of the Mediterranean ships that you think he may have been a part of, but right here where the Red Sea ended, well, that was the port that would have gone off into the rest of Asia, and so Solomon ran things from that particular port. That was where he built his navy. Now, the Queen of Sheba came from this direction. You remember when the Queen of Sheba came up and she was seeking Solomon's wisdom? She would have come up the Red Sea, probably from Ethiopia or Yemen, or perhaps at that time her kingdom had some territory in both Ethiopia and Yemen. And she would have come to Solomon mostly for wisdom, but also we would know that she came to Solomon because she perhaps wanted some port access down here. She had some trade routes that she wanted to establish, and it was economically advantageous for her to come to Solomon as well. Well, not only did he build cities, buildings, and ships, but he was also wealthy in wisdom and material possessions. I mean, when it comes to wisdom, Solomon was at the zenith. He was at the apex. He was at the top of his game and the top of the world. People came from all over the world to hear about his wisdom. Solomon, in addition to all these things, had a load of horses. Did you notice he had 12,000 horses for his 4,000 chariots? Now, there's some interesting pieces that go along with this, because if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, you'll remember there was a prohibition that kings were not allowed to have too many horses, and they weren't allowed to go to Egypt to get their horses. But in today's readings, what do we read? Solomon had 12,000 horses, and he went to Egypt to get them, violating what happened in Deuteronomy. Why would it be that a king shouldn't have too many horses? Well, horses were connected to chariots, which were connected to military might. And in the Psalms, it says, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we trust in the Lord our God. Solomon was beginning to depend on military power and on wealth and on his own wisdom, rather than depending on God. And we get some clues about this, which you'll hear in a couple weeks in your reading, will eventually lead to Solomon's dramatic fall. As a matter of fact, the three prohibitions that are found in Deuteronomy chapter 17, too many wives, too much money, too many horses, that are all prohibited for a king, well, Solomon violates all three of those. During Solomon's reign, the extent of the kingdom of Israel had reached its peak, its zenith, the top amount. Solomon's kingdom, now this is normal kingdom of Israel right here, new whiteboard marker we need. This is the normal kingdom of Israel right here for most of their history. Under Solomon's reign and David's reign, it extended out past here all the way up to the Euphrates River. And it went along a border right about there. So that was the biggest that the kingdom had ever been. And then down in this direction, it extended down here all the way to the border of Egypt. So at this point, this is Israel's largest amount of territory that it had ever taken part in. It had ever owned or had people paying tribute from. Solomon's kingdom was about the same size as Mississippi or Louisiana in square footage, but when you take in terms of Israel's history, this is the largest ever. Solomon became very rich from having this much territory and people paying tribute. Exactly how rich was it? 666 talents just of gold every year. Now, if you multiply that by 16 ounces, if the price of gold is $1,600 an ounce, multiply that by 16 ounces to a pound, 750 pounds to a talent, times 666 talents, do you know how much money that would be? $12,784,800,000 worth of gold he had coming in every year. Like Warren Buffett, look out. Solomon was making way more money than he was making during his time. You multiply that by 40 years, the length of Solomon's reign, and he had over $500 billion come in just in gold. That dude was rich. No wonder it says that nothing was ever made in silver in Solomon's day, because there was so much gold. And that doesn't count all of his income through trade, all of his income through silver, all of his income through wheat and other things that would have brought in precious jewels. He was one rich dude. And he is the apex of Israel's history. Well, this summarizes Solomon's wealth and everything that happened during his time that made him to be so wealthy. Now, you need to watch out, because from this point forward, Solomon's downfall begins. And it's actually his wealth and his wives and his horses that take him down that trail. And in just a couple of weeks, we'll see Solomon hitting rock bottom. Well, this has been Mark Ashton bringing you the May 15th Accelerator, praying that God's blessings will be with you and that he'll make you wise like Solomon, but not with some of the traps he fell into.